Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness some scenes from the next attraction to play this theater. This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person or the parent of a young or impressionable child now in attendance, that you and the child leave the auditorium for the next 90 seconds.
It's the Video Nasty Project, where we watch shit movies so you don't have to. Tonight, we're going to be taking a look at... Well, it says Escape, but this is really Hell Prison. It runs under a million different titles, and why don't we just roll the goddamn trailer, and it'll make sense in a second.
One, two,
women trapped on a prison island, forced into slavery, depending on sadistic guards for survival, with nothing to trade but their very souls.
A wild animal that needs to be tamed.
I saw you caressing her with your fucking black ass. Jealous bitch. I'll break your head open.
All right, that's enough.
They were brutalized. Humiliated. And tortured. Until they were willing to risk anything for freedom. Even death.
You bastard!
That was Escape from Hell.
Yay, we're done watching it.
Yay.
We escaped.
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble getting excited for this episode because, oh, God, what the fuck do I say about this piece? I'm sorry. I'm back online now. So, Hell Prison is basically a women in prison movie. You've got...
In the jungle.
It's down in the Philippines, probably, because that's where they shot all of these movies. And you have these female prisoners who are barely clothed and really horny as fuck, and they're under the protective custody of a sadistic warden. There's the bull, there's the sympathetic doctor. Basically, this movie ticks all of your women in prison boxes. And then they escape, and then they get away, and most of them die. Roll the credits.
It's an above-average porno, but a below-average woman-in-prison exploitation film. And I tend to agree with them. It would be above-average for a porno.
But the problem is that, unlike a porno, you don't get any titillation. You don't get any money shots. You don't get any payoff. It's just these ill-formed blobs of flesh humping in the distance. Now, a lot of that is that the print we have that you can only get, because the thing's only available on like out-of-print DVDs that are like 15 years old, the print looks terrible. So we're coming into this already with a, what the fuck am I watching? And then it's just these people humping. It's like...
This is like Thomas Tang and Joseph Lai type shit, except minus the kung fu action, because that would have made it an actual interesting film to watch.
Yeah, none of the characters are very innovative. Interesting.
Can we even pick a name of the characters? No. I don't even know if...
Vivienne. Vivienne was the woman... Okay, Vivienne was the prisoner who I believe was having a relationship with one of the guards. She was a sympathetic ear, and she ended up getting into some shit. I've just been going by based on their appearance, like the head guard, the bald head guard with the porn mustache. And then there's the Tom Savini lookalike, second, like first lieutenant guard.
The head warden, he looked an awful lot like Peter Lorre.
Yeah.
And then there's your lesbian woman guard. She was one of the prisoners who ended up stooping the head guard and got in good, and she started whipping the others, because basically it's better to crack the whip on your own kind than get the whip. So she could eat in the house, eat the good food, as long as she remained sadistic and a bitch. And there was one point in the movie where she started coming down, because they basically just said, hey, look, you used to be one of us. You need to back the fuck off. And this is at the point where they're about to jack her ass. Because she gets what's coming to her, as we all know, because this is that kind of movie.
You know, the problem with this movie, the one big, huge problem with this movie at its very core, is that it's no fun. It is so dour. It is so relentlessly dark and bleak. You go watch a Roger Corman Women in Prison movie. You go watch The Big Birdcage, The Big Dollhouse, the movies that he did for The Cheap in the Philippines. And yes, they're stupid and dumb and schlocky, but they're fun.
This movie makes you think about shit that goes on outside of the view of countries like the United States and Europe. These prisons exist. There's a prison in Haiti, and they had a picture of these Haitian men, these black men, sitting in this shitty-ass prison, and it struck me that, well, you know, this is like that movie. And so the one thing that could be said is it can raise awareness of the kind of conditions that people are placed under when they're made prisoners, when they're sent to suffer.
There's still some women in prison movies that are in really bad prisons that are still a lot more fun and entertaining than this one.
But they're not supposed to be fun. That's the whole point. Prison is not supposed to be a fun place.
I will absolutely defend the nature of some of these movies can be educational and raise awareness. Fight for Your Life was, hey, let's take racism and put it front and center. Or The Chant of Jimmy Blacksmith, where you've got the plight of the Aboriginals in Australia. So yes, you can elevate a subject through discourse in your movie. However, you need to have a better script. You need to have something other than, let's take a whole bunch of women and have them fuck.
Well, yeah, and I'm not defending this movie's tawdry and cheap sensibilities. And a lot of the problem with this movie lies in the dubbing. This movie was made for the Italians or something like that. And so if you look at the kind of European movies of this sort, the acting generally tends to be a bit higher than the equivalent American movies of a similar type, even though they're more fun and maybe more coherent. The bad thing about this was the script and the American dubbing. It was just not on point.
The counterpoint to that is, however, let's take a Fulci movie. Let's take The Beyond. No, wait. Let's take House by the Cemetery with Bob. Bob the dub is probably hands down the worst dub we've seen in this entire project. But we liked that movie. So if the dub brought this movie down, then why didn't it bring that movie down? It's because Hell Prison has no substance to it. It's just a bunch of women fucking for an hour and a half until they escape.
Well, also another thing is that in the cut version, it's no longer a porno. So if you're going to go and run a porno, you know what you're getting. You're getting people who are fucking. If the rape is part of that, you're going to go, well, there are rapes in other pornos, so I'm just going to lump this together with that. Divested of that substantive type of, you know, movie template, which is fuck every 15 minutes, more fuck, more fuck, more fuck, you turn this into an exercise of morbidity. It's no longer a porno. It's an unenjoyable prison movie with rape and torture, with the hardcore elements taken out that don't act as a buffer that you can get off. It doesn't have the, I'm going to jerk off to this. No, I can't do that because the jerkability has been removed and now it's sadism and torture and rape and murder. It's no longer fun.
You are right in that prison is supposed to be unpleasant and it's not supposed to be fun. And let's put aside the Roger Corman, goofy, Pam Grier women in prison movies. Let's take a look at the Female Prisoner 701, the Japanese movie that they was black, from like 75.
Female Scorpion.
Female Scorpion, yeah.
Black, yeah.
Those movies are absolutely gritty and hard and very ballsy and very, you know, I'm going to slit your throat. You know, holy crap, okay, don't do this. But the thing is, though, they are so ludicrous and over the top that they're still fun. So you can still do gritty and dark and bleak.
There's also some actual good women in prison movies out there that are actually rather enjoyable. And I mean, okay, it's not a very good subject matter. It's in prison. Prison sucks, no matter how you slice it. But at least there's some good stories going on there.
Even above and beyond the story, I mean, there's, getting back to the characters, there's no protagonist to hang your hat on. There's no Pam Grier to say, yes, I want to see you get out. I want to see you stick it to the man. I'm rooting for you. I'm pulling for you to overcome this hell. There's nothing like that here.
Well, no, there's no lead to this movie. There's nobody to actually get the things rolling. It's more of a group picture, basically. The only reason I want to see these women get out of the prison is because of the conditions that they face, not the fact that they're criminals. In fact, I think the majority of the women are in prison for being like whores, and one of them was a murderer.
Well, at a high level, at a Amnesty International level, I don't want to see anybody in prison suffer. However, there's just nobody there that I can... If you have no emotional investment in the characters, when they start dying at the last 15 minutes, I'm like, I don't care.
There's a women in prison movie called Island Women, and I think it's a German-made movie, and it's got Bridget LaHaye in it. And in this movie, it's pretty much the same plot. The women are prostitutes, they get rounded up, they get shoved in prison, they get abused, they escape, stuff happens. But that movie is 10 times more enjoyable than this one because, for starters, there's three main characters, three main prisoners, one of whom is played by Bridget LaHaye, and you actually get a sense of person with them. You get a sense of individuality. You get a sense of appreciating them, not just as being pretty women, but also appreciate them as people. There's a character that's developed for them, and you're like, yeah, I want to see these women get out. I want to see them, you know, get revenge or, you know, and you sympathize with them. You don't sympathize with anybody in Hell Prison. And that's one of the things that I found very disappointing about the writing is that it just didn't work.
Well, there are several of the women in this movie are interchangeable, and in fact, at some point when they're running around, they kind of like many of them resemble each other because they all have the long blonde or dark hair and stuff, and they're all well built, and they're usually models. There are a couple of women in there that I found really physically attractive outside of the just in and of themselves, and there were a couple that I thought, oh shit, this is so fucked up. Like one woman who got basically. The head guard is fucking this one prisoner. She's one of the blondes who's been given KP duty. She goes into this tent, and he's given her cigarettes and booze in exchange for a shtup. Well, she stupidly walks out into the courtyard or out into the outside with the booze and the cigarettes, not hiding them, you know, in any way, shape, or form. Broad daylight, gets taken and whipped. You know, she's cuffed and on top of a log, given 24 of the best with the lash by Tom Savini, number two. And the warden says, harder! Give it to her again! Harder! Then they drag her ass away. And I believe I think she's the one that got planted in the ground and then they let the snake get at her in the middle of the night. I'm like, God damn it.
And that's the tipping point for the prison where I will be completely fair. I'm going to say something nice about this dreadful piece of shit. That once the last 15 minutes or so kicks in, it does pick up a little bit where they start escaping. They have to run through the jungle. There's snakes, there's leeches, there's guys with guns. Unfortunately, to get to that, you have to get through an hour and 10 minutes of fucking and nonsense and boredom.
I did find a couple of things in there rather gratifying. Something I was hoping would happen, and it did, is the warden got strangled to death by the doctor. And I thought the punishment should have fit the crime. He should have gotten dragged along with them and given the lash at some point and then tied up in the water and let some animals have their way with them or some shit. I thought his death was a little fast, but at least
play with the crocodiles.
You know, some of these movies, the punishment just doesn't end, you know, and sometimes the bad guys win. But this is a case of most of the characters acting as basically fodder, including the doctor. I mean, noble sacrifice so the others can get away.
Well, they're all completely interchangeable. I mean, there's no discerning qualities to them other than you're the black one.
Yeah,
that's it.
I mean, the only one who sticks out as different was the transsexual Ajita Wilson, the really tall, dark skin. She's a black woman with the huge hair.
Now, I will give the movie this: that okay, I'm not going to a exploitation movie that was shot in the Philippines for trans rights, but it was pretty progressive of them to get a trans person to be. Well, as close to what you get as a lead in this movie as we get.
Yeah, she was on a bunch of magazine covers like Gallery, which catered to the black community back in the 70s and the 80s. And she did a lot of hard and soft core stuff on and off. Unfortunately, she I believe she suffered a brain hemorrhage or something. Something bad happened to her, killed her.
She died really young.
Yeah, like 35 or something like that in 87. That was in her 30s.
Shame, really?
Yeah, who knows? She could have been a spokesperson for the trans community. But, you know, she was fairly good looking. I mean, she'd had some really good surgeries done. And I didn't know she was trans before I read up on the movie. I was most of the way into it before I found out.
No, I thought she looked pretty good, too. I had no idea until I was doing research after the movie that, wow, for the 70s, that was a pretty good job.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know, I thought she carried it off pretty well, especially in some of the really dramatic scenes in the bunkhouse where the head lesbian prisoner was dominating the other ones and basically singling her out for some just flipping her some serious shit because she was kind of getting in this woman's way. You know, this blonde woman who was trying to get her hands on another blonde. And then Ajita's character steps in and basically says, towards the effect of, back the fuck off. I rule this roost. You know, and this is the point in the movie where generally you would have somebody step up and say, we're gonna have a cat fight. Well, that never happened. They should have had a cat. They actually did have a cat fight, but it was later on in the movie, way after they should have had it, when they were on the run.
All right, sure, yes. I don't even know what you said because I'm just spacing out right now. I'm just kind of, whatever. Just get this episode done.
I finally remembered a really good women in prison movie, Reform of Schoolgirls. That is a decent women in prison movie that I highly enjoyed. It's got a lot better characters, better writing. Everything about it is better.
All right, we have spent far too much time on this piece of shit. We're done. That's it. Cut. Hell Prison. Was it nasty, Ashley?
Yes, it's nasty for the very specific reason of rape and lots of it. It's very sadistic. It's the kind of thing that pushes lots of people's buttons, not just women, not just lesbians and gay men. And it can push pretty much anybody's buttons because rape is never a good thing.
I'm legitimately shocked that this much sexualized violence, which we have long since established is a no-no for the DPP, didn't wind up on the original 39.
How many instances of rape are in this movie? Six?
I, too, would put it on the list, not necessarily because of the nonstop cavalcade of rape, but that is a factor, but more that there's all this unsimulated sex. People are actually fucking on screen.
Well, of course they are.
It's not veering into hardcore territory, but you can clearly tell that there's full-on penetration going on here. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, this is as close to porn as we're going to get, so right. On the list, it goes.
Also, there's torture, there's beatings, there's just several instances of degradation. You know, this is an unpleasant film.
All right. Well, I guess that's that then. Goodbye, tape. You're on the hit list. Da-da-da-da-da. So, did you fellas like this piece of shit movie?
No. This is a terrible movie. There's only one redeemable thing, which is to say, good-looking naked women. And even that, you can get it in other sources.
Ashley, did you like the movie?
For me, it's a case of meh. I consider this typical of the genre, but that said, it's better than many in that genre. Many of the women in prison films, especially the Nazi prison films. I consider those way below. And if this were a better print, then I think our judgment of it would probably be a lot better. Because the way it is right now, it looks cheap and tawdry. What do you think of it?
Well, it's not a cannibal movie, at least. That said...
There was editing? There was acting?
Yes, there's editing in the most conventional way that possible.
Well, yes, there is editing to this movie where they cut one scene and they transition to another. There is editing. Yes, you said that there's no acting in this movie. Yes, there's plenty of acting in this movie. It's all fucking horrible.
I would argue that under the circumstances... that some of the acting in this movie is by people who were probably trying to get acting jobs in regular movies and they were doing porn to pay the bills and maybe hope that they could get something more mainstream. And some actors have come out of porn with better acting skills.
Bridget Lahai, great example.
Right. And so, you know, given that, I say that some of the people in this movie are very standard actors.
I have seen some pornography that has come to me from Vinegar Syndrome because I had a year-long subscription, so it kind of came with the mix. And I watched movies like Her Name Was Lisa, where I didn't know it was pornography. I put it in, and I'm like, I'm watching it, and I'm getting into the characters, I'm getting into the story, I'm getting into the acting, this is really good. And then all of a sudden, I get a face full of dong. And I'm like, wait, what the fuck? And I grabbed the remote and fast-forwarded past the fucking to get back to the story. So the notion that just because it's pornography, and that is an excuse for it to be shoddy acting or shoddy script or whatever is nonsense, because Her Name Was Lisa was legitimately good.
I'm not saying that being in a porno means you're a bad actor or actress. What I'm saying is that some people get jobs in porn because they're trying to work up their resume in anything, like Ron Jeremy, who does mainstream movies and TV. He worked his way. He was an English teacher before he got into porn, but he couldn't pay the bills in any other way, and he had this huge dick, so he got into porn because it was easy, but then he became an experienced actor by doing it over and over and over again in porn. Acting is acting no matter what it is. As long as you are consistent and learning something from the last time, you're building a resume, you're building skills. This is how you learn how to act. It doesn't have to start on stage. It doesn't have to start in the news like Oprah. Hold on. Don't interrupt. The way I figured out this was a porno, because I didn't know that going in, was when one of the, early on in the movie, when one of the prisoners goes down on Tom Savini number two, and it's clear she's actually going down on him. And just before you get to showing any skin past what's in her hand, they cut. And I said, oh, it's a porno. And that was within the first 10 minutes. Outside of that, I'm going to say that this is one of the most typical movies that comes out of Italy. The acting is on par with fucking Cannibal Ferox, which I detest. I fucking hate that movie. But it's the same kind of acting. Basically, I'm thinking they write a script, then they put the porn in, and then they put more porn in. But they write it to be an exploitation movie first, and then porn second. Because the acting is the kind that reminds me of those movies that don't have porn in it that come out of the exploitation cinema of Italy. It's the exact same shit in 1,000,000,000 movies of its kind that doesn't have to be fucking porn. And the reason you guys come down on it like a sack of bricks is because it's porn that's been cut and edited and hacked and slashed, and the acting is shoddy here and there, and you're taking that and you're doing a snowball effect where you are conflating one thing with another and then bringing the rest of it down by default. You are making it worse than it actually is, and it ain't all that bad.
I'm going to disagree. This is an incomprehensible, boring, nothing script. It does nothing.
It's not incomprehensible. It's perfectly understandable. Okay. I understood it the first time I watched it. I've only seen it once. I knew exactly what was going on.
All right. I will retract that. Okay, yes, I can absolutely understand the script. I don't want to, because there's no fucking action to it. There's no nothing to it. It's fucking torture, escape, more torture, more fucking. Hey, we're going to escape now. No, it didn't work out, so it's torture time again. There's nothing to this fucking movie at all, period. That's why it's fuck it.
And you can't say that we don't have an opinion about it or that it didn't bring out something because clearly it has. Now, this has the same effect on you that Cannibal Ferox had on me. You've seen Cannibal Ferox twice. I didn't know you'd seen it before I saw it. And you had no, adverse reaction that I could see to the animal killings on screen when they were really murdering animals, just like the way they did in Cannibal Holocaust, which is actually a superior movie. And so I felt sick as fuck watching that movie. I felt nothing watching this one.
Holy shit, I think I'm going to have to change my opinion because this movie engendered a response from me, an emotional response from this movie. Okay, it was absolute hatred and rage, but this movie completed its job as a movie. It engendered a response. Oh my God, what's happening to me?
So you're just going to go with the thumbs down instead of the button?
This is not a movie to enjoy. This is not for people to go in and say, well, I'm going to, you know, this is a good time. No. Obviously not.
It's a terrible movie, but there's better ways to address the subject matter.
As we've already said. Yeah. You know, but what I'm saying, and I've been saying different things the entire time, is that divested of any sort of enjoyment whatsoever, this movie is just really typical. It's fucking typical. It's like paper. You've seen one sheet of paper, you've seen another one. You know, and any kind of, and my opinion is going to remain that. It's going to remain my opinion. I am not going to present anything that I say as fact that needs to be adhered to 100% clad in stone.
That is absolutely fair. This, at the end of the day, is merely our opinion. And your opinion is just that it's mediocre and kind of middle of the road. And our opinion is that it's fucking shit.
I'm sorry, Tony. There's no way you can get back that time that you spent watching this film.
Yeah.
It is permanently erased from your life.
Gone forever.
Unfortunately, your memories will remain.
It's that bad.
That's probably the only bright spot in this entire thing.
All right. We'll catch you next week. Fuck this movie.
Do you want another hit?
No. Yes. Let us never speak of this movie again. Next week, however, I have it on good authority that it's a much better movie because Wes Craven is back on the list with The Hills Have Eyes with The Sound of Music or some nonsense like that. So drop us an email, thevideonastyproject@gmail.com, and we'll catch you next week. Thank you for watching, and stay evil.
Good God, the leeches.